Agutavach, everyone. Thank you to Mrs. Lefkowitz for the introduction. Mrs. Lefkowitz, I always knew it was to spend time with your granddaughter. I want to be clear, and Baruch Hashem, one of the most beautiful things about Torah is the ability to bring multiple generations together around an overwhelming and eternal message. It is an incredible schus to be. I have to say, I'm a little bit startled. I was in this dining room a couple of weeks ago on Zos Chanukah to speak to the high school boys, and it looked nothing like this. Trying to figure out, is there a different room in the yeshiva that I did not see? But then I recognized the kitchen. Whoever was in charge of the setup here looks really beautiful, magnificent, and Baruch Hashem, I'm sure that the achdus tonight and the feeling of togetherness and everyone coming together to support the yeshiva, I'm sure, is only a tremendous source for the extended TA community, and it is a real privilege and an honor to be here. You know, I think everything that we do during this tikufa, during this period of time, takes on so many multiple layers and levels of meaning and significance. You know, it's beautiful that here is a PTA, a parents group dedicated to the advancement of your children. And it's beautiful. A room filled with mothers who want nothing more than for their sons to grow up, to be incredible B'nai Torah, to self-actualize. And you know, sometimes I wonder, like, the Ribono Shel Olam sits in Shamayim, and he probably has, like, Kiviyochel have, like, multiple screens. There's a group of mothers, again, selflessly dedicated to their children. In Eretz Yisrael, again, we saw today, we heard after Shabbos, about the release of Yarden Bibas, a father who doesn't know the whereabouts or the condition of his wife and his precious children. It's overwhelming. Almost the dichotomy of events that happen within our people simultaneously. Simcha, togetherness, a feeling of incredible purpose and mission. And yet on the other side of Klal Yisrael, so much heartbreak and so much sadness and so much overwhelming pain. But this is the nature of our people. And I think all the more so because we have seen since October 7th, and the truth is it's not just October 7th, it's the story of our people. Families torn apart, communities torn apart. All the more so an evening like this to be dedicated to the chinuch of our children, to be dedicated to raising inspired children, to be dedicated to creating inspired lives that could yield inspired children, I think is all the more so important. So we should just hope that Emir Tzashem, all of the Torah, and all of the Achdos, and all of the growth, and all of the beautiful spiritual positivity that emerges from a night like tonight, should just be a tremendous zuchus for the Bibas Mishpacha, for all of the Mishpachos of Klal Yisrael, for all of Am Yisrael, and for Eretz Yisrael. You know, one of the most incredible things that I find about these parashos of Shmos is as I get older, you know, the story doesn't change. We know it. Klal Yisrael is enslaved for 210 years. And then Baruch Hashem, we go free. I don't want to ruin it if anyone hasn't seen the end of it yet. But that's the way it ends well. But what's fascinating is, and the beauty of Torah in general, is how you can read the same story year after year, and somehow something different pops out at you that you never saw before. And for this year, I spoke about this a little bit this morning on Shul as well. One of the things that's so striking to me is the depth into which the Torah goes in recounting the conversations between Paro and Moshe. A constant back and forth. Moshe Rabbeinu says this, and Paro says this. And Moshe asks, and Paro says no. And Moshe threatens, and Paro says okay. And then Paro retracts, and back and forth, back and forth. And it's overwhelming because there are so many things in the Torah that are not explicit or that are nuanced. And yet here the Torah HaKadosh is going to such incredible depth regarding these back and forths between Moshe and Paro. And obviously there's nothing extra in the Torah, there's nothing extraneous. So it must be that if the Ribono Shel Olam goes into such depth regarding the conversation between Moshe and Paro, it means that there's something for us to learn from it. And I want to reference one of those conversations. Taken now to right after the plague, or right before the plague of Arba, of locusts. Paro's advisors already know it's not going to end well for the Egyptians. So they beg Paro, just let them go. So what happens? Vayomer avdei Paro elav. Servants of Paro say to him, How long are you going to let this guy Moshe go ahead and be a thorn in our side? Just let them go. So what happens? They bring Moshe and Aaron into Paro, and Paro says, fine. L'chu ivdu as Hashem Elokeichem, miva miyaholchem. Paro says, no problem. You want to go serve God? Go serve God. Who's going? Who's going? Who's on the list? Who's leaving Egypt to go ahead and serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Moshe says, Vayar Moshe, b'na'areinu u'biskeinenu neilech. Everyone's going. Everyone's going. Our children, our old people, and obviously everyone in between. Bivanenu bivnosenu, our sons and our daughters. Bitzoneinu bivkareinu, even our livestock. Everyone is going. And Paro says, absolutely not. There is no reason why the children need to go with you. Lokein, lichu nahagvorim, ve'ivdu as Hashem, ki osa atem mevakshim. Children, Paro says, children, it's interesting, children were the sticking point. Paro was willing to let the men go. Paro was even willing to let the women go. Paro was even willing to let the elderly people go. Paro would not let the children go. He says to Moshe, it's not right. You're trying to pull a fast one on me. If you want to serve God, what do kids have to do with serving God? Just take the adults, specifically the adult men, go do what you have to do. Vaigarish osam me'is p'nei Paro. And that was it. Paro chased them out. And Lubavitcher Rebbe, Sechatadik Livracha, asks a simple question. What is going on over here? What is the machlokis? What is the debate between Moshe and Paro? And the Rebbe says, if the Torah is going out of its way to recount this conversation, it means that there must be something fundamental that is unfolding over here. Not just that Moshe wants everyone, Paro just wants the men, or wants the adults. Moshe wants everyone, and Paro says yes to everyone, but the children. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe says something so incredibly beautiful. He says, Paro's entire hashkafa of life is that the metric of success is the ability to produce. If you could produce something, if you could create something, then you are a worthwhile, meaningful person. But if you can't produce, then you have no value in community. And therefore, Paro says, elderly, again, this was Paro's hashkafa. The elderly, what do the elderly do? They just take up resources, Paro said. They're not producing. They're not productive members of society. And who stands along there with the elderly, just taking and taking and taking? Children. Paro says, children, what do children do? What do children, okay, got it. Children are important. You know, it's interesting, in Paro's mind, children are important, why? This is the interactive part of the talk. Children were important, why? Because one day they become adults. But children by themselves, said Paro, have absolutely no real worth. They don't do anything. They just take up resources, take up time, and just sap you of, it's a little bit of venting, they sap you, right, of every single last vestige of energy. We have to hold on to them because they will become the adults. But in and of themselves, they are non-contributory members of the community. It says there was something amazing. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Paro, you really don't get it. Moshe Rabbeinu said, every single human being has a shlichus. Every single person has an agency. Every single person has a mission. Every single person has something that they are supposed to accomplish, including children. Children have a shlichus. Every single child has something they have to accomplish, not when they become an adult. They have a shlichus, they have an agency, they have an obligation, they have something they have to do, even while they're still children. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, of course the children have to come. So children are part of this. Not al tzchinuch. It wasn't just educating them for when they're going to become adults. But rather, again, it was because each child has his own shlichus, his own mission, his own thing he needs to accomplish, his own form of self-actualization. And therefore, even the children have to come along. You know, the great tzaddik, the Piagetzna, Hashem Yikom Damo, Rav Klonim Eskalman Shapira, who was murdered by the Nazis in Achshon Zichron, in his sefer, Chovas HaTalmidim, says something absolutely amazing. He says, you know, the most famous pasuk for chinuch, the most famous pasuk for chinuch is, Chanai, I guarantee you, you could look up any school's website and every single mission, vision, strategy will always have, yes, we believe in chanuch lenar al pi darko. Educate the child according to his way. Because it is. It's the mantra of chinuch. But the Rebbe says something amazing. He says, sometimes we think that what that means is, you know, we know that there are multiple intelligences. Children learn in different ways. There are visual learners. There are kinesthetic learners. There are all different kinds. And Baruch Hashem, now education has advanced so much that we understand that not everybody learns by sitting down at a table with an open book and frontal lecture. We know that. We understand that. Says Rebbe, but there's so much more to that statement. Chanoch Lenar al pi darko posits the Piagetsna means teach every child that they have a shlichos. Every child has a mission. Children aren't simply valuable because one day they'll be adults who will perform and who will succeed and who will produce. But even when they're children, children have a shlichos. You know, we have a minhag in our family that whenever one of our children has a birthday, so we try to do like a birthday dinner, whatever their favorite food is, and my children know they're always going to get asked one simple question. What is your goal for yourself for this year? And it didn't matter if they were 3 or 23. The question always gets asked, and the question always has to get answered, unless if they want cake. It has to. What do you want to accomplish? And what that does is, it trains our children to think about the fact that they have a shlichus. They're not here just to take, and they're not here just in this stage just to get to adulthood. That even as children, a child has a shlichus. A son and a daughter has something that they could contribute now, even in their youth. And says the Lubavitcher Rebbe, this was the point of contention between Paro and Moshe. Paro thought that childhood is simply a bridge between birth and adulthood. It's a necessary evil that you just got to get them through so that they can finally accomplish something of substance in life. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, it's not true. Even our children have a shlichus. Do we tell this to our children? Do we encourage our children to lead mission-driven lives? Do we ask them, what do you want to accomplish? Not simply have you studied for your tests. Not did you do your homework. That's important also. Did you clean your room? Did you do your chores? Those are all important questions. But there's a bigger question that sometimes we forget to ask our children. And it's not, what do you want to be when you grow up? It's, what do you want to be now? What do you want to accomplish? What do you want to do? To ingrain within our children a mission-driven existence, recognizing that there's a shlichus. And again, for children, that shlichus could change a million times. It could be a different shlichus every single day. It could be today, Sunday. What do you want to accomplish on Sunday? And it could be a different shlichus every day of the week. And you know what's incredible about that pasuk, the Piagetsna says? People only quote the first part of the pasuk, but there's the end part of the pasuk. Shlomo Melech says, Chanuch lenar al pi darko, if you go ahead, right, teach a child according to his way, gam ki yazkin lo yasser mimeno. Because this way, even when the child gets old, the chinuch will not leave them. Now, on a basic level, again, pasuk can be understood kipshut on a simple way. Instill within your children values when they're young. Instill within them proper ideology, hashkafas. Children are like a blank slate, a tabla rasa. They're just like that untouched piece of parchment. And whatever you give them will remain with them through life. But the Piaget says something different. He says, if we teach our children to lead mission-driven lives when they are young, chanuch lenar al pi darko, we say to our children every day, Shefala, you have a mission. Not what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to be now? What do you want to do now? If we instill that within our children when they're young, Gam ki yazkin lo yasser mimenu. Mission-driven children become mission-driven adults. People who live life, children who live life, always focusing on what's my goal, what's my tafkid, what's my shlichos, what should I accomplish? Become adults who live lives, asking themselves, what's my goal, what's my mission, what's my tafkid, what should I accomplish? We have the greatest opportunity with our children. The Ribono Shel Olam has made each of us custodians of his greatest treasure. Doesn't might not always feel like a treasure, but it's a treasure. That the Ribono Shel Olam gives a mother and a father a precious neshama to raise in this world. That is the most awesome of all responsibilities. And because it's so awesome, it has to be handled in the right way. And we have to learn this idea of teaching our children again, this mission-driven type of life. But how do we do this? I think it's a beautiful thought. I think it's an important thought. But how do we do this? How do we become the type of parents who push our children not only to take, but to give and to do? You know, the Dubna Magid gives a beautiful mashal. One of my favorite mashal. And he said there were once two neighbors. One of them was a gardener, a professional gardener. And the other one was a highly skilled professor, a mathematician. They were neighbors, and they both loved flowers. They had the most immaculate gardens, all different types of flowers, all different colors, incredible, so beautifully kept, magnificent. But you know, it's interesting because every day, the gardener was very sparse in the amount of water that he gave his plants, that he gave his flowers, he gave all the shrubbery. Meanwhile, the professor, the mathematician, was very generous. Like, I love my flowers. Who doesn't love flowers? I love my flowers. And he would be overly generous with all the water, more and more and more water. Okay, and this went on for a while. Then the Magid says, one day there was a terrible, terrible storm. And both men come out to survey the damage on their beloved gardens. And they see something amazing. They see the gardener's garden is perfect. It's intact. Everything is there. Everything is just as it should be. And the professor, the mathematician's garden, everything was uprooted. Everything's blown all over the place. Mamish, not one survivor. Right? Not one little bit of the garden left. So the professor turns to the gardener, his neighbor, and he says, what's the pshat? I gave my plants so much more water than you did. I loved my plants so much more than you did. I watered them, I sang to them, I spoke to them, spent time with them, and mine are all gone and you're here. The gardener says it's very simple. You gave a lot of water to your plants. Let me start the other way. The gardener said, the whole chap with gardening is like this. You have to give your plants just enough water that they're able to survive. And then what they do is, they burrow deeper in order to find subterranean water. And because they have to burrow deeper, their root systems are much stronger and much more intact. But you, professor, I know you love your plants, but you gave them too much water. And because you gave them too much water, their root systems never developed. Their root systems remained very shallow, because why borrow? Why borrow? Why go deeper? Why dig? Why do? If all the water is simply going to be provided to you. And the Dubna Magid, the mashal is obvious, especially when it comes to chinuch. As parents, we often think that our job is to give our children everything. I'm pretty sure I have a good number of years on almost everyone in this room. That's false. It's wrong. And it's actually a fundamental abdication of parental responsibility. If you give your child everything, then their root systems never develop. If you give them everything, then there's no borrowing. If you give them everything, then at the end of the day, they never have to find their own strength and their own shlichus. The job of a parent is to make their child feel loved, feel secure. You know, I often find that one of the most common parenting questions that I get is parents have difficulty. My kid wants something, my child wants something, and I don't want to give it to them. I don't want to give it to them. But what am I supposed to do? Everyone else in the class has it. Everyone else in the class has it. There's not too many questions that really like get me riled up. But I have to tell you, and I try to say it very nicely, but it goes some in my mind, the answer is like this. What is the matter with you? You're a parent. And being a parent means saying no. Are your kids going to be braggish? Your kids going to be upset? They're going to be just fine. But the job of a parent is not to always water whenever the plant asks for water. The job of the parent is not to give whenever there's a request to give. Because then the plant may look healthy. The plant may look vibrant. The plant may look like it's fully blossoming. But there's no deeper root system. Don't be afraid to say no. Don't be afraid not to give your child every single thing they want or they ask for, even if their entire peer group has it. Now, of course, a person first has to have the personal strength also not to have to keep up with everyone else in order to be able to give that kind of chinuch to our children. But that's the avoda. If you always water the plant, the roots remain shallow and our children remain weak. But if we figure out what the plant needs in order to go ahead and really survive, not just survive, what the plant needs to thrive, but just enough so that the plant knows that it needs to work a little bit on its own. That's how we develop strong children. And when we develop strong children, those children become mission-driven children. Because if at the end of the day, all that's happening is that my beautiful child is just getting anything and everything they want and ask for, then there's no impetus to lead a mission-driven life because everything is just a la carte. Everything is just Amazon primed. Everything is just right here in front of me. But if I figure out as a parent, what do I need to give so that my child feels loved, secure, happy, and content, but not everything, because I need them to develop their own roots. That's when our children understand the yesod, that they have to lead a mission-driven life. And I would encourage all of us to challenge our children in this way. You know, sometimes we think that our children are so fragile. The Ribono Shel Olam, you know what the most durable thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in this world, the most durable thing? Are people. We are the most durable creation of the Ribono Shel Olam. We could pretty much handle anything and everything that comes our way. Some of us know that from personal experience. We certainly see it across Klal Yisrael. We are durable. And if we push our children a little bit more, push our children a little bit harder, say yes at the right times and say no at the wrong times, they're not going to break. They're not going to go off the derech. They're not going to come disillusioned with the entire system of parenting. But they'll become stronger plants who have had to develop a more unique and more thorough root system. And if each and every day we ask our children a simple question, not what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to do when you grow up? But what do you want to do and what do you want to be today? What do you want to accomplish now? And I will tell you, it is never too young to start with your children asking this sacred question. You may be surprised what your children are able to accomplish, what they're able to do, and who they are able to become. The Ribono Shel Olam should give us all incredible siyata deshmaya with raising our children. Because although at the end of the day, you know, you don't have to be experienced to become a parent. We have to do a lot of on-the-job learning. But all of us know that we cannot do it without the Ribono Shel Olam holding our hand every single moment of every single day. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that we want to develop mission-driven children, that we want our children to be givers, we want our children to be contributors, we want our children to grow up with an ethos of what it means to be a member of Klal Yisrael, is to constantly and consistently think about Ma chovaso ba'olam, like the Ramchal says, what is my obligation in this world? What do I have to do? What do I have to accomplish? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that those are the kind of children we want to raise, and those are the kind of families that we want to create, then I have no doubt that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us incredible siyata d'shmai in this holy endeavor. Halavai, our children should give us nachas. We, the children of the Ribono Shel Olam, should give our Father nachas. And Klal Yisrael should Amir Hashem be engulfed by a magnificent tidal wave of nachas. And that wave of nachas should be the beautiful and holy wave that propels us to Geula. Amir Rabbi Aminu. Amin.
Thank you so much, Rabbi
Silver. Good. Thank you.
We're going to have a few minutes to break for the next part of our program. So I
can I get the rub some
food? Good. Thank you so much.
Sure, positive, wife,
positive, positive. Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Good night. Good to Vach. Good to Vach.